I'm glad that you're here tonight. Thank you so much for coming. What a wonderful and pleasant surprise. Every time I've stepped in this pulpit and looked out and seen people that through the years I've known and loved and appreciated. We have a group of people tonight from over at Woodson Chapel. Thank you so much for coming. My in-laws are here tonight, as they were yesterday morning and last evening, and people from Gladstone and people from various places. And I want you just to know that what an honor, what a privilege and joy it is for me to stand here and for you to be here. I appreciate it so very much. I told Don and Teresa just a few moments ago, I said, well, I didn't expect you back tonight. I said, you've heard everything that I know through the years, you know. He said, we just thought you might put a little different twist to it and we might see you hear something different. But anyway, we're glad that you are here. You know what really matters in life when I close my eyes and fold my hands in death? It will not matter if I'm rich or if I'm poor. It will not matter if I live in a big house or a small house. It will not matter if there's one wreath or 100 wreaths of flowers at my funeral. It will not matter if I have served as the President of the United States or the Governor or the Mayor of this city. The only thing that will really matter is if I believe in the one they call Jesus. We're talking this week just about Jesus. We talked about yesterday morning at Bible study, and yesterday morning at worship, and last evening. And tonight, my topic, as I announced, is I believe in the one they call Jesus. My only regret tonight is this, that more of the world does not believe in the one they call Jesus. There has been more words spoken. More words have fallen from the lips of mankind about Jesus than any other individual in all of history. There have been more poems written, more books written, more songs sung, more art painted, and more sculptures made of Jesus than any other individual or any other thing in all of history. The name Jesus is mentioned 983 times in the New Testament. And in those 983 times, there are some 212 different titles that's given to Jesus. He's called the Christ. Remember when the angel announced the birth of Jesus and said, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins," as she announced to Mary the birth of Jesus Christ. He's been called the Savior and Lord and Vine, the Alpha and the Omega, the Messiah, the Bright and Morning Star, the Lamb of God, just to mention a few. The name Jesus has been imprinted in the sidewalks of history for almost 2,000 years. I believe that some of us here tonight, many of us, will live to the year 2033. And we can reflect back that sometime along that time that the Christ, the Savior of the world, lived and died for my sins. Yes, Yes, tonight I tell you I believe in the one they call Jesus. And I believe that He's the answer. Not only for me, not only for you, but the answer for the world. And we could only hope that the world would appreciate Jesus like those of us in this room tonight appreciates Him. Matter of fact, the great Apostle Paul had this to say in the book of Philippians chapter 2. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It was John Newton, the converted African slave and ship captain, that penned the very beautiful words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." I believe every single one of us have been blinded by sin. And those that have accepted Jesus Christ have been able to see and to see clearly. And how grateful we are. How sweet the name of Jesus Christ sounds to a believer. How sweet and how soothing it is to those whose hearts are heavy, whose hearts are in sorrow. To those that have been wounded, it is just the name of Jesus that helps to drive away the tears and the fears and the discomfort of life itself. There is no name in all of history like the name Jesus. There is no name among men that carries the meaning, that has the power, that has the deity that the name Jesus has for His followers and His children. So tonight, I tell you, I believe in the one they call Jesus. And I believe that He's the answer for us. I believe in the one they call Jesus. And I believe that He can help every single person in life. Jesus Christ, He is the creative Christ. He is the babe of Bethlehem. He is the teacher of Galilee. He is the Christ at Calvary. But He is no less than the Creator of heaven and of earth. The Bible says about Jesus that all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made, in John 1 and in verse 3. Every blade of grass, every star in the sky, Jesus Christ was there when it was placed in its being. Scientists today tell us, and every year they come up with new figures. It's no telling how many figures that they might come up with before we leave the solar earth. But scientists believe today that there are some 8 billion galaxies. And there are 150 billion stars around each one of those galaxies. And around each of these stars, there is a solar system as well. And around each solar system, there also are planets. All of this was made possible by Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We turn over to the book of Genesis in chapter 1. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let us make man." So it's very obvious that from the very beginning of time, when the solar system was placed in its being, when the stars were put in the sky, and when the grass and the birds and everything else, Jesus Christ was there. Tonight, where was Jesus in creation of the world? He was right at the beginning. And where will He be when the destruction of the world comes? He'll be right beside His Father. Tonight I believe in the one they call Jesus, because He is the creative Christ. Everything that we have, everything that we enjoy, Jesus Christ is the Alpha. He was there at the beginning. I believe in the one they call Jesus because He is the compassionate Christ. Sometimes when you're reading in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, notice the number of times that the Scripture says, "And Jesus had compassion." Notice the number of times that Jesus reached out to someone who was in need. Notice the number of times that Jesus stopped whatever He was doing because He was touched by the situation. The widow of Nain, when her son died, Jairus' daughter, or the blind man, or the 10 lepers that Jesus cleansed. Tonight I believe in the one they call Jesus because He is compassionate. When my heart is heavy, when I have no one to turn to, I like to turn to Jesus Christ. I told our elders just a few weeks ago, in an elders' meeting, I said, "Men," we stopped in the middle of a meeting to pray, and they asked me to do it. I said, "I want to just tell you something. I don't want y'all to think I'm crazy. I don't want you to think I'm out here in left field. But when I really pour out my heart to God, I just like to get down on my knees. I know God hears me as much when I'm standing. I know God hears me as much when I'm in bed. I know God hears me as much when I'm sitting at the table. But when I really need to pour out my heart, when my heart is heavy, I just like to get down on my knees and talk to God." So I said, "Excuse me, I'm just going to get down on my knees right here." The compassionate Christ. I believe in the one they call Jesus because He cares for us. In the book of Acts chapter 10, down in verse 38, the Scripture says, "He went about doing good." Whenever He went and saw the blind, they were able to see. The lame were able to walk. The deaf were able to hear. The lepers were made well. And the world had the gospel preached to them by a man that was compassionate, by a man that was touched by human needs. Look in Matthew, Mark, look in John. Look at the times that Jesus reached out. I believe in the one they call Jesus. Because when my heart is heavy, Jesus understands. He cares. He knows. Jesus gave life to those that had no life. He brought love to those that had no love. He was a friend to those who were friendless. There were many suffering people that Jesus had time for. And the thing about Him tonight, the reason that I believe in the one they call Jesus, is because He still has time for hearts that are heavy. I stand here tonight. I look out into a sea of beautiful faces. But I also know that some of you are hurting. Some of you are hurting for different reasons. I don't know the reasons. You may be hurting because somebody in your family is sick, or somebody has just died, or various other problems that you're hurting. And so therefore, I may not understand, I may not know, but I tell you who does: our Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ certainly knows. No wonder that Peter would say in the long ago, 1 Peter 5 and in verse 7, "Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you." If I had no other reason in all the world to believe in Jesus Christ, I would believe in the one they call Jesus because He is the compassionate Christ. He cares. He understands. He loves when everyone else may not. Joseph, scribbling, lived a long time ago. He was engaged to a beautiful young lady, and just a few days before they were to marry, she drowned. He went a long time, and he became engaged again. And the night before they were to be married, she came down with pneumonia and died before the wedding. He never married, but he penned that very beautiful hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." I believe tonight in the one they call Jesus, because He is the crucified Christ. We talked about this at great length last evening, didn't we? When we talked about the blood of Jesus. When I said, listen to the blood. And there was a message last night in every drop of blood that fell from Calvary. And tonight, I believe in the one they call Jesus because He was crucified for you and me. Probably like most of you, I've often wondered, now why? Why did God choose crucifixion for His Son? Well, God could have done anything, couldn't He? He was God. He could have chosen any way for the sins of mankind to have been forgiven. But God chose to send His only begotten Son. And just moments before that angry crowd would come and take Him away, Jesus in the garden prayed, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will." Not My will. But Thine be done. I believe in the one they call Jesus, because He said, "Not My will, Your will." And if this is Your will to go to the cross and to die this horrible death, then I'm willing to do it for old Wendell Bird. He's going to need it. He's going to need me to die for his sins. And I'm willing to do it. How tonight could we believe in anybody any less? How could the world have any other gods? How could the world put anybody before Jesus? I believe in the one they call Jesus because He's the crucified Christ. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. Philippians 2 and in verse 8. There are some 255 verses in the New Testament that deal with and talk about the death of Jesus Christ, the cross. The Bible teaches us that He bore our sins on the tree at Calvary in 1 Peter 2 and in verse 24. If I were to die today, I would not place my salvation on the best 24 hours of my life. But if I were to die today, I'll place my trust in the one they call Jesus, who died at Calvary, who gave His life and gave us grace For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. And that gift from God was demonstrated in His Son. I believe in the one they call Jesus because He's the Christ of Calvary. That's where I can find my grace. That's where you can. What a gift to every single one of us. The poet probably put it better than I could ever put it. When he said, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. But He washed it white as snow. I believe tonight in the one they call Jesus. Because He is the conquering Christ. When all empires have fallen, when all nations have been trodden down, Jesus Christ will still be King of kings and Lord of lords. He still will be victorious. In Revelation, the 6th chapter, down in verse 2, John on that Isle of Patmos simply says, He went out conquering and to conquer. And from Revelation 1 and in verse 18, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And then from Revelation 1 and in verse 18, I have the keys of Hades and of death. Jesus has even conquered the grave. The grave could not hold the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And by His resurrection over the grave, then therefore we can live and live victoriously. Let me tell you. I believe tonight this. I believe tonight if I die, I'm going to heaven. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be up here. Not because I'm so good. No, absolutely not. Not because I'm cocky. Not because I'm arrogant. Not because I believe I'm perfect, because I don't believe in any of those things. But because I believe in the one they call Jesus. And because I believe that when we try to do the very best we can, and we try to live according to the Scripture, and we try to be faithful to the Lord, that Jesus Christ is going to save us. Amen? Absolutely. If I didn't believe that tonight, I would never dart back in a church door. Never again. I want to do what's right. You want to do what's right. But I'm glad tonight that I can believe in the one they call Jesus. You know, we are the only religious group in the world, Christians, that we have our leader who lived and died and lives again. Mohammed, he's been dead for 1,300 years. No one questions that he's dead. He's not still around. And Buddha, he has been dead for centuries. Confucius, he's been dead so long that there are those that even doubt that he even lived. But Jesus Christ lives tonight as much as He ever did. And is seated on the right hand of God, making intercessions for us. No wonder when we pray, we talk to our Heavenly Father, and we conclude in Jesus' name that Jesus Christ is going to go to the Father for us. My God is alive, and He lives very much. Because I live, you shall live also, Jesus said in John 14, down in verse 19. And let me tell you the situation there. In John the 14th chapter, we're in that upper room. It's right before Jesus is going to leave and go across Brook Kedron over into the garden where He's going to leave His three, Peter, James, and John. And He's going to go a little farther and He's going to kneel and pray. It's there where He's going to come back to them three times and ask them, could you not watch and pray? And it's there where that angry mob is going to come. The weight of the world is on His shoulder. But He's going to be victorious. He's going to conquer death itself. I believe in the one they call Jesus, because tonight He lives for every single one of us. My hope tonight is in the conquering Christ, and He is your hope as well. In 1637, the Japanese government had Christians killed. Matter of fact, there were 11,111 Christians killed in Japan. And they dug two massive graves, one on this side and one on this side. And with that 11,111 Christians that were killed, they beheaded every one of them. They buried the heads in one massive grave. They buried the bodies in another massive grave. And they said, these Christians, they believe in the resurrection, or in a resurrection. That'll stop that. Won't nothing stop Jesus Christ when He comes? You know, every now and then somebody asks me, I wonder what you think about cremation. I say, maybe for you, it's not for me. I sort of laugh and say, I don't want to burn twice, you know, in case I burn once. I don't want to burn twice. Not planning on burning once, but I definitely don't want to burn twice. I'm not for cremation. You might be. Biblically, I don't see anything wrong with it. That's up to you. That's your privilege. But I'm here to tell you that when Jesus Christ comes, if you've been cremated and your ashes have been scattered across the world, that quick, Jesus Christ can bring it together. I believe in the one they call Jesus, who can place the solar system in the sky, cause the grass to become green, brown in the wintertime, cause the leaves on the trees to turn colors in the fall, and the beautiful snow to fall. I believe in the one they call Jesus, who's alive tonight. And then finally, one other thing that I would mention tonight, and my lesson is yours. I believe in the one they call Jesus. He's the coming Christ. He's the coming Christ. I'm glad that when we die, that we're not like the dog Rover, just dead all over. I'm glad that's not the end. I'm glad that that's just the beginning. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is coming again. You know what? I wouldn't care if He came tonight, and you wouldn't either. The world is in trouble. I believe tonight in the one they call Jesus, because I believe one day I may be here or I may not be here. But I believe one day Jesus Christ will come again. And the Scripture says, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and the others will be caught up together to meet Him in the air. I believe it's going to be a glorious day. I believe it's going to be a wonderful time. I tell you what, I cannot wait to see those streets of gold. I cannot wait to see God face to face. I cannot wait to see Jesus. I'd like to talk to him. I'd like to just touch the nail prints in his hand. Not because I do not believe, but because I do believe. And just to touch the tremendous sacrifice that he paid for me and for my sins. I'd just like to sit down with him and talk to him for a little while. I believe tonight in the one they call Jesus because I believe he's coming again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, verse 3. When Jesus first came, he came by way of a manger and a maiden. But when he comes the next time, he'll come with the voice of the archangel and the trumpets will sound. And if we're here, we'll be caught up together. The dead in Christ will rise first. Tonight, do I know the night in which the trumpet will sound? Do I know the day that will not have a sunset? I do not. But what I do know tonight is that one day he's coming. And when he comes, I want to be ready.